Today is Saturday, the 30th of October, 2021, and this is the fourth session on mindfulness for beginners in English. I would like to warmly welcome, with permission, Venerable Bante Homagama Dhammakusala Thero to today's program. And I would also like to warmly welcome all the participants joining via Zoom and MixLR. I would like to invite Venerable Bante to kindly commence with the Dhamma talk for today's session. Thank you.
Dear mindful friends, today, before we go into the talk, I thought maybe we can spend 1 or 2 minutes with silence. We can keep ourselves silent and just pay attention to the present moment for a minute, because usually we come to these type of programs with a rush. So it is good that if we take some time to quiet ourselves and just take a minute to breathe. So during this time, we will stop doing anything. Instead, just close our eyes and pay attention that we are sitting. Pay attention to the present moment and just calmly notice what you feel. Maybe you will hear sounds, thoughts, various things will come. Just let them flow and just be aware that you are in the present moment. Just pay attention that you feel this flow kind of thing going on. So we will take 1 minute just to keep silent and just to be aware of ourselves. Okay, now you may open your eyes again. So 1 or 2 minutes we took just to clear our thoughts, make sure that we are in the present moment and just, you know, being aware. So that's a good way to start a session because it will help you to clear your thoughts and calm your mind. So with that, I would like to go into today's discussion. So today I thought of telling a story about a light bulb. Maybe we can call it the mess a light bulb has created, because this invention, some time back, there was this invention about the light bulb, and that led to series of changes in the scientific world. So early 19th century, when the light bulb wasn't invented, all the physics laws and the Newton was the king of physics world, and his equations were thriving at that time. But during early 19th century, the light bulb was invented. So after that invention, they came to know about some weird things about the behavior of the particles or the energy. So it came with the light bulb. Those inventions were found with the light bulb. So when they observed the behavior of the light bulb, they found some weird facts. So when they started, they thought that light was a wave. So that was the understanding at that time. So they thought that light behaves as a wave. But with the invention, they came to know that light is showing some other properties as well. The properties of particles light is showing. So they did various type of experiments to confirm these things. And more they experiment, they came to know that light shows both wave properties as well as particle properties. So that's one part of the story. Then at that time, electron was considered as a particle. But some experiment led them to see that electron also shows some wave properties as well. So the light was initially thought as wave, and it started showing particle properties, and the electron, which was understood as a particle, started showing wave properties. So this confusion came after so many experiments. So after studying this for so many years, they came to realize that they can't differentiate these small particles as waves or as particles, because they show both the properties. So they just wanted to confirm on this thing. So they came to know, they decided that one can never know where these tiny particles are until you measure them. In other words, if you say they are everywhere till you measure them. So that's the nature they found. So it goes as a wave, but once you measure it somewhere, then it becomes a particle. So that's the discovery they did. So after some time, Niels Bohr, one of the leading scientists, he gave some interpretation, which is called Copenhagen interpretation. And in that, he said that there is no solid reality. Instead, there is potential for reality. There is no solid reality. Instead, there is potential for reality. And that potential becomes a reality once you pull back the curtain and look. Once you measure only, that potential becomes a reality. So that was the interpretation he gave after studying these particles for so many years. So behind the curtain, you can't really say that this is there. Instead, some potential is there. Once you open the curtain and look, you will see one thing or the other. So it is like a coin that is always rotating. Once you stop this rotation, it'll either become head or tails. So that's the idea he gave. At that time, Albert Einstein was also a leading party in science. He didn't like this interpretation because that is changing all the beliefs that they had. With every fiber of his body, he hated this interpretation from Niels Bohr. So he once jokingly asked, so that means, does the moon cease to exist when I don't look at it? So when I don't look at the moon, does it cease to exist? That was his question to Niels Bohr, challenging this interpretation that he gave. So although Albert Einstein wanted to challenge this, he wanted to change this after trying for so many years, maybe after trying for 50 years, he couldn't prove it wrong. So towards the end of his life, he was with frustration. He said that after trying for 50 years, I couldn't still reach near the truth of these particles. Although I tried, I couldn't reach somewhere even closer. So that was his last comment. So with time, maybe later generations of scientists, they were able to develop some equations and they were able to prove that Niels Bohr's idea about the nature of reality is accurate. So they did some experiments in a lab and they proved that his idea was accurate. So current status, if you think in these quantum particles or in quantum mechanics, is Niels Bohr's idea. He's saying that there is no solid reality, instead only the potential for reality. Once you pull back the curtain and look, then it becomes a reality. So always in our surrounding, it's like a rotating coin. Once you stop that rotation and look, then only it will become a reality. It will either become head or tails. So this is the latest update in the area of quantum mechanics. So initially they thought that Newton was right, but after some time they realized about this weird behavior, and even spending so many time, maybe 100 or so years, they came to realize that you can't really give a definition to the nature of the reality. Instead, when you look only, it'll become something solid. So with that idea, let's think about our practice. Now, when we pay attention, when we try to be mindful, we can see certain things are appearing from emptiness. Let's say maybe the sounds, maybe the thoughts, maybe your breath, maybe different bodily sensations, maybe various emotions are appearing from the empty space. If you pay attention to that, if you start paying your attention to something, then that thing will become vivid and colorful. Let's say you pay attention to one of the thoughts that appeared. As soon as you pay attention, then that thought will become vivid and colorful. If you don't pay attention, then it will vanish into nothingness again. So when we practice mindfulness, when we pay attention to the present moment, we can see certain things are appearing from nothingness and certain things are disappearing into nothingness. So that nature we can of course see. Once you pay attention only, they would become vivid and colorful. So when we practice, the experience that we share is somewhat closer to the interpretation that they had about quantum mechanics. The interpretation they had about the nature of the reality. So as mindful practitioners, within our mind, in our senses, we can see that this process is going on. Various sights, sounds, different sensations from your body, and maybe thoughts, emotions, they appear. If you hold on to something, if you grab something, then they will become a thing. They will become vivid and colorful. Then you will start storytelling about it. This is my thought. I thought like this. And you will start some story based on that. But if you don't pay attention, if you just let it go, then it will again vanish into the empty space. So that very experience, when we see things are appearing from this emptiness, and things are vanishing into this emptiness, so your mind doesn't get moved by this process. Little by little, you understand, although these things appear, although they appear to be so real, after a while, they vanish into the emptiness. So more you see this change, more you see this behavior of our mind, more and more peaceful and calm you become. Incrementally, you become unmoved by this appearance or cessation. So that is the peace and happiness that we are talking about. Because if you see things as real, if you hold on to them, then that very action will create pain and suffering in you. But if you let them go, then you can maintain peace in your mind. So let's say some incident happened in your surrounding. So if you become aware about it, then that might create some difficulty in your mind, some trouble in your mind. But if you are not aware about it, then that won't harm peace in your mind. That won't create any trouble in your mind. So that very practice we are doing. More and more we try to be aware of what is happening. More and more when we pay attention, then we will see certain things, they are appearing from the emptiness. And after a while, they vanish into the emptiness. As mindful practitioners, without judgment, without going into a conclusion, we try to be with this process. We try to calmly observe this process that is happening in this moment. Although you try, you see, once in a while I get caught in a thought. Once in a while, I get lost in an emotion. Once in a while, I will start storytelling. But that is fine. After some time, maybe after a few minutes, you become aware that I got lost. You become aware that I started storytelling as usual. With that awareness, again, you can bring your attention back to the present moment. Again, you can bring your attention that these things are appearing and disappearing after a while. Again, you can start observing this process that is happening. So when you observe it more and more, you realize if you try to be patient, if you stay without reacting, most of these things, they solve themselves. You don't have to get involved. Instead, these things, they just solve themselves. Maybe around 95% of the things that appear, things that become problems, get solved after 1 or 2 days. These problems, they solve themselves. So you just have to be patient. So certain things will come with much urgency. They will ask you to act right away, but you just put them on a waiting list and just calmly observe for a day or two. Maybe after 1 or 2 days, if it shows the same importance, then of course you can do something about it. But I guarantee you, after 1 or 2 days, you will realize even I can't remember the problem. Sometimes somebody else did the necessary things and the problem is solved. Sometimes with the new updates, there's no problem anymore. So maybe around 90 to 95% of the things are solving themselves. You just have to be patient. You just have to stay without reacting. It's like when you go through the customs, although you go with a rush, they say, stand behind the yellow line. You try to go towards the counter. You try to create this urgency, but they will not accept you. Instead, they will say that you just stand behind the yellow line. We will call you when we are ready. So these things in our life also, they come with such urgency. They come with such a rush. So when they come, when they try to push you into a decision, you just, you know, pay attention. You just be patient and let them stay for a while. Tell them that just start, just stand behind the yellow line. I will call you after a while. Acknowledge the problem and just let it be for a while. When you do that, most of the things, they solve themselves. And you will still maintain the peace and happiness in your heart. There might be occasions that you have to act, of course. I'm not denying that. But most of the things, although they come with such a rush, they solve themselves. So that's the idea I want to give. If you pay attention, if you measure something, then of course that will become vivid and colorful. But if you don't pay attention, if you just let them be, then that very process will help them to vanish into nothingness. So it is somewhat similar to quantum mechanics. When you look only, when you measure with your mind only, these things come into life. They become vivid and colorful. So that very process we observe when we practice mindfulness. We see certain things. When I start holding on to them, they become vivid and colorful. If I let them go, then they will vanish into nothingness. Even maybe some emotions, maybe some past trauma, they will come. You can't stop them from coming. Instead, let them come, welcome them, just acknowledge their presence and just let them be. If you do that, if you don't try to push them away, if you don't try to accept them, hug them, then they will stay for a while. And with time, most of them will disappear. So that very practice you can do throughout your day, starting from early morning till you fall asleep. You can just pay attention to the present moment. You can just pay attention to your mind and body and just observe. Maybe you will feel bodily sensations. Maybe you will feel certain feelings and emotions in your mind. Doesn't mind. We just be the observer. We just observe that these things are happening. We just observe that I am thinking these thoughts. We just observe that I feel these emotions. Without deciding, without trying to rush anything, we just become the observer. Even within a one day, so many things will appear, but after a while, they will disappear. It is said that in a day, on average, you will get around 70,000 thoughts in your mind. So imagine if you start acting on all of them, it is a never-ending process. Instead, if you observe patiently, if you just let them be, then after a while, they will vanish into emptiness. They will vanish and make space for the new thoughts. Those new thoughts will also disappear after a while. So this process is happening again and again. So 70,000 thoughts appear and disappear per day. Without jumping into conclusions, without judging, we just become the observer of this process. And when you become the observer more and more, you realize, although these things appear, disappear, I am not so much moved by them. Instead, I just feel calm and peaceful in our mind. So that is the very idea of this practice. And although you hear my words, if you practice for a while, if you develop this quality in your mind, if you pay attention and try to be mindful, then you realize, you experience this on your own. When you experience, that's the real way to develop your practice. More you experience, more you pay attention to the present moment, then more you realize about the process going in your mind and body. Certain things that are appearing and vanishing, you will feel. You will feel the thoughts that matters to you. You will feel what are the emotions that matters to you. So that identification we are doing, it is more like a self-discovery that we are doing. We discover ourselves. Usually the world's way is that discovering outside things. They want to discover the nature of the particles. They want to discover the nature of the light. Instead, they forget discovering themselves. Maybe they spend an entire lifetime discovering outside things, but they forget to discover themselves. As mindful practitioners, we pay attention to our mind and body, and we try to discover ourselves. So that is the very practice. I hope I gave you some idea about the practice and how it relates to modern science. How this similar idea is there. So with that comment, I think we can end the talk and we can move to practicing part of our session. I know I started with some few minutes of mindful sitting. Now we will take some time to do a mindful walking session. Maybe around 5 minutes we will take for a mindful walk. So during this time, you just pay attention that you're walking. Make sure that you have some space, maybe around 10, 15 feet. You just walk back and forth in that space. While walking, just pay attention what you feel. Maybe you will feel the ground. Maybe it is a tiled floor. Maybe it is a wooden floor. You will feel the sensations of the ground. Maybe you will feel how the weight is shifting from one leg to the other. Maybe you will feel which parts are touching the ground first. Maybe it is the heel that is touching. Maybe the toes. You just become the observer. You just pay attention. And when you do that, you will realize that my attention is going to thoughts, sounds, and the sights I see in the surrounding. That is fine. You just become aware and again bring your attention to the walking process. So that's the practice we are going to do. We will take a few more minutes to be mindful that we are walking. Okay, so that's our time for a mindful walk today. And you can come back to your seat. And I think Namanta is having some information regarding the reports and the practice.
Yes, Banti, thank you very much for that excellent talk and also the guided mindful walking practice for a few minutes. I feel all of us would have gained some insights from both. Now I would like to go through the beginner's guide to mindfulness. I will share it on the screen. Most of you will be aware of this. If there's anyone joining for the first time today, they will find this especially useful. There are two videos which we have prepared that you can use to become more familiar with mindful walking and mindful sitting. These are a few minutes each. And then once you are familiar with them, you can start allocating a few minutes every day. And we feel like 20 minutes to 40 minutes per session. And then you can do a mindful walking session for about 20 minutes, another 20 minutes of mindful sitting. And then you can follow this up for 4 or 5 days and gather about 2 hours of practice in mindful walking, another 2 hours of practice time in mindful sitting. This will give you the experience and the confidence to put down your sensations, experience, difficulties into written format. Usually when you try to write down when you what you experience, it becomes more formidable in allowing you to understand what is happening. So we term this as a reflection report. So the third step is to describe what you felt during mindful sitting and walking. You can describe the texture of the ground, pressure points on the soles, how the body weight kept shifting, the rhythm involved in walking, all those things. And during mindful sitting, you can describe how you felt the breath, whether you felt emptiness or whether you felt any pains inside you coming from your body, like aches in the legs or something like that. You can describe in your own words, in your own style. There's no pressure to apply any particular style or format in this, just to be descriptive about what you're focusing on and any other difficulties you felt. Then there's the Google form and the email. You can use either of them. I will share this detail in the Zoom chat for you to collect the Google form and email details. You can use either of these to send us a report. And when you send us a report, we will discuss, we will present the report to Banti, and Banti will discuss and go through the report's contents and advise you on what to do next. And whatever you write and submit will be useful to you, and not just for you, for others in the session as well. So this is highly encouraged, and this is one of the primary purposes of this session, to encourage you and to guide you to submit these type of reports. Then you can join in for the session every Saturday, the same time. These are the advice on starting. I will stop sharing the screen. I will soon put the information in the Zoom chat. And I believe we have a report for today. I would now like to invite Sonali to commence reading the report for today. Thank you, Banti.
Avasarai Bante, thank you, Namantha. There is only one reflection report today, and it says, sitting practice. I'm aware of my breathing, sensing the air touching the inside of my nostrils as I breathe in and out. I observe how the sensation is subtle at the start of the breath, in breath, and becomes more prominent before fading away again. There is a similar pattern of contact during the out breath. Thoughts arise and I am lost in the one after another. It feels like they become more and more prominent and demanding of my attention until they reach a crescendo. Suddenly, I am aware of a long out-breath. I observe the pressure of the cushion on my body, and I note the air touching my nostrils once more. This return to being aware of the present moment feels incredibly calming, and I'm able to continue observing the breath until the end of my period of sitting practice. That's all, Pante.
Okay, so in your report, you have some valuable information about the observations. And when you observe the breath, you can feel how it is appearing, and you know, then sensation becomes stronger, and after a while it fades away again. So that's the nature of the breath, and that's the nature of everything. Even the sounds, thoughts, they behave in the same nature. So when we observe breath, in a way we are observing the other things as well. The entire world is reduced to your breath. And when you observe breath, you are observing the entire world. So when you say world, when you say breath, it's the same thing. So you just observe the breath. And when you observe that breath, it feels like you're observing the entire world. The knowledge, the insights on your breath is insights on the entire world. So now you feel that thoughts are coming, and they demand your attention. So most of the time you feel that you were lost in them, but still you could maintain your practice and you could bring your attention back to the breath again and again. So this very practice we have to do. So with time, you will see certain changes. Maybe you will feel that the power of the thoughts, the energy is getting more and more stronger. Maybe some past incidents, maybe some mental images, various things will come. Even your childhood trauma will come. So that is fine. You just practice again and again. So when you observe your breath, let's say during one sitting session, now you see how the breath is changing. In, let's say, one in breath, you can feel how the sensation is changing. It is like a graph that you are describing. This is how the breath is changing. Now, when you are able to observe your breath in such details, the next step would be to observe the change between one breath to the other. Let's say if you take the very first in-breath, then the second in-breath, then the third in-breath, then the fourth in-breath, how it is changing with time. Now in your report, you have information on in-breath, how it is appearing and how it is disappearing. What I suggest is that now you observe the changes between one in-breath to the other, one out-breath to the other. For that, you have to have very sharp mindfulness, and you have to be aware, be attentive more and more about your breath. And then only you can observe the change with time. Not only the change in a single breath, but change after a while, how the breath is even changing. So that observation, if you can report next time, it is some valuable information that you can give to the group as well as to yourself. So try and do this for a few days. When you sit, pay attention, make sure that you can be comfortable for a while and you know how to observe the variation in a single breath. Now your task is to observe how this breath pattern is changing with time. Maybe first 10 minutes, there's no change. Then the breath starts to change like this. So that story, if you can tell, starting from the very beginning towards the end of your sitting, that is something very valuable. So although they appear similar, if you observe the change, there are so many details that is changing. Maybe the temperature will change, maybe the sensations, the intensity will change. So you have to observe and you have to tell the group that I tried to observe my breath for a while and this is the change I felt. This is how it was when I started and this is how it was when I ended. So that information, if you can give us next time, that's a valuable opening to the next part of your practice.
Thank you very much, Bhante, for that excellent reply. And thank you, Sonali, for reading out the report. Now, since we do not have any other reports for today, I would like to invite anyone who has questions on their mindfulness to voice out their questions so that Bhante can help you further. You can raise the Zoom hand and I will unmute your microphones. I can see that Gihanta has raised hand. Yes, Gihanta, you can speak now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Namanta. Thank you very much, Bhante. My question is, for a number of years, I have been meditating, but my meditation has been irregular. And what I have noticed is that sometimes when I get very busy in life, maybe because of work or family responsibilities, my mindful practice takes a hit. I can go back to it, but what would you encourage me to do so that I can have a more consistent mindfulness practice, even when life gets extremely busy? That's my question.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Now, when you say hit on your practice, can you explain it a little bit more?
Yes, Bhante. So what I mean by that is, say I get extremely busy at work because of pressure there or some deadline, or maybe life gets very busy at home because of family activities. I am not able to stick to my commitment. So I make a commitment to say, okay, I will meditate, you know, half an hour every day or something like that. I continue that for some time, but when life gets extremely busy, I am not able to prioritize that time for the meditation. So that is what I meant by a hit. And so that's why the practice is irregular.
Okay, right. Now, when you meditate as a layperson, if you have families, then if you have work, then of course I understand it's difficult to be consistent on your practice. Various issues, various problems will come. Always it will end up consuming your meditating hour. So that's the usual way most people experience that. But what you have to do is that you have to make sure that you are continuing your practice. Maybe there was like 1 month you were not able to meet that level that you wanted, but still you just, you know, wait for a while. And when the problems disappear, when you get some space, then again you come back to your meditation practice. So that is like observing your breath. When you observe your breath, you can't always keep observing it. In such various things will come and they demand your attention and they will maybe, you know, even for a few minutes, we get lost in the stories. Maybe we get lost in the future plans. But even after getting lost, even after maybe a few minutes, you become aware, again, you start observing your breath. So that's the same thing, maybe in a larger scale. So you meditate, but when you get busy with work or family, then it's like, you know, lost in thoughts. It's like lost in storytelling. But again, after a while, you can come back to the breath. You can start meditating again. So that same process that is happening inside you is happening in your outside life as well. So if you get discouraged that I can't, you know, keep my attention with the breath, or as it is getting lost in thoughts and stuff, then that's not the way. But instead, you become aware that thoughts are demanding my attention. I get lost in thoughts. Then after a while, you again come to your breath. Similarly, in your formal practice also, maybe due to work and family, sometime, maybe 1 or 2 weeks, 1 month, 2 months, you are not able to meet your usual hours. But after that, you again come back to your meditation, try to meet your usual number of hours, maybe 1 hour per day, the formal practice, of course, you are talking about. So that's one aspect I would like to point out. So when you get lost, similarly, you come to breath. Maybe you get lost in your life as well. Then again, you come to meditation again. It's like returning to your primary object. So that's one aspect. Then the other thing is that although you don't get to do your formal hours, still you can meditate during your day-to-day life as well. For that, you have to replace your word meditation with mindfulness. When you do that, you just have to be attentive about the activities that you do. Maybe you are struggling with a problem at work or home. Just, you know, be aware that I'm in this mess. Just be aware that I'm running somewhere with a rush. So that awareness is what we are practicing. Of course, if you do certain hours of formal meditation, that helps, that creates some kind of a peace and calming state of mind. That I agree. Still, if you change the definition of your meditation, you can say, instead of meditation, I try to be mindful. When it comes to mindfulness, there is no limit. There's no time constraint. Instead, whenever you are aware, you can become mindful. You can become attentive to the activity that you are doing. So in a way, meditation is living. If you know how to live, you are meditating. If you know how to live your life, you are meditating. So that's what we want to focus on. Living, by living, I mean you pay attention to the whatever the activity that you are doing, you become aware of it. When you do that, you realize that I can't stay focused. I can't pay attention for a long period. Maybe after a few minutes, you get lost. Maybe even after 15, 20 minutes, it reminds again. That is fine. But again and again, you keep that reminder in you. You keep reminding yourself. And when you do like that, then with time, you realize that even during day-to-day activities, you can be mindful, you can meditate. In a way, you start living your life. So most people, it is said based on the research that 47% of the time, we are lost in our mind. We are not attentive. So that means 47 means almost 50% of our lives, we are not in the present moment. Instead, we are lost somewhere. So if we reduce that amount even by 1 or 2%, then we start living more and more. So that's the idea. I understand your comment is more about the formal meditation, but still you can change the definition of the meditation. Use that word mindfulness instead of meditation. And with that, you realize that it's a way of life. It's a lifestyle that you have to introduce into your life. So I hope I answered your question.
Bhante, it's a complete answer. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's very useful. My final question is what do you suggest is the minimum number of hours or minimum number of minutes that one should be meditating daily to begin with?
Right, the formal meditation you are referring to again. So that, let's say, yes, so let's say for a beginner, if you can start with 20 minutes, that's enough. as a starting point. And some people, they find it difficult even 20 minutes. So when I say 20 minutes, I mean 20 minutes of sitting and 20 minutes of walking practice. So even, let's say you can't do that even, then start with like 5-10 minutes. Every day increase by 1 minute. So today you do 5 minutes, tomorrow you do 6 minutes of sitting and 5 minutes of walking, tomorrow 6 minutes of walking. That, like that, you increase by 1 minute daily. So after 1 month, you realize that I am at 30-40 minutes per day. So increasing by 1 minute, it's not difficult. So that way we have to, you know, be skillful and we have to achieve a certain level. So if you can achieve 1 hour of sitting and walking, that means 2 hours per day, that's a good level. More the better, of course, I know. But at least like 2 hours, if you can meditate for a formal meditation for a day, then it's a good level.
Bhante, thank you very much. I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Bhante, for that very descriptive answer to Gihanta's question. It's a question that I also come up once in a while. Now, I would like to invite Sonakshi from Sri Lanka to raise her question. She's a 10-year-old child from Sri Lanka. Sonakshi, you can speak now. Thank you.
Are there any separate sessions for kids mindful sessions?
Yes, that's a good question. We have certain sessions, especially one comes to my mind, which is on Thursday, starting from next week. And it is a Satipatthana for kids. And it will be around for 2 hours, start at 7:30 p.m. Sri Lankan time, and 2 hours program. So if you have contact with Namantha, then I can send him the details, maybe within a few days, and you can start joining that. Thursday, 7:30 p.m. onwards. Does that work for you?
Yes, Bhante, thank you.
Okay, so I will forward the details to Namantha within like a few days. Starting from next week, you can join.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you for that, Bhante. And are there any other questions for Bhante on mindfulness? Bhante, I have a question. Can I ask the question?
Yes.
Sometimes I feel when I focus on the present moment that it is very hard for me to decide I'm going to do 1 hour of mindful walking. It is like I'm focusing for a few minutes in a very narrow time span. I'm used to it by now from practice. So to think I can stay like this or that for about 1 hour seems to be difficult, more difficult than when I began. This is something I felt that is happening when I review whatever I was doing in the last 2 months or so. Is that a normal thing, Bhante, or am I doing something wrong?
Oh, when you say narrow time span, what do you mean? Like you are focusing too much, or is it?
Possibly. Some of my work do involve multitasking, fair bit of multitasking. Maybe I'm used to very shorter span of attention at the moment. It is like very hard to tell myself I can do this for 1 hour. Even a normal, like something like watching a movie or something, it's a bit hard to do, watch that for 1 hour. Even mindful walking, it's the same thing. It's like my mind is too precisely adjusted to small time compartments. That's what I felt.
Okay, so I think you are referring to your mind jumping from one thing to other, and you can keep attention for a long period. Attention span is shorter, it feels like, based on your comment. So That's fine. Now, when you think that you have to pay attention to one particular object, then that's the origin for your question. But if you think being attentive to the present moment, being aware of the things that are happening in the present moment, that is always multitasking. So the sounds are there, now it just started raining. So I can't get rid of the rain. No. So the sounds are there. Then the sights are there. Then the thoughts are there. Bodily sensations are there. So it's a combination that we call the present moment. It's a combination. So your question is valid. If you think you just have to become aware, you just have to keep attention with your body or the breath, then it is valid. But if you just stay with the flow, if you just be aware about this process, then of course it is shifting here and there. Your mind is jumping here and there. If you try to fix your attention only on a single object for a long period, that is a source of headache. If you really focus and, you know, try to stay there, after a while you'll get a headache. So that's usual because you try to focus so much. But the natural way is that it is always jumping. You have to become aware that it is jumping, and you have to bring it back again to your primary object or the breath. When you accept that nature, when you accept that change, it is not so hard. But if you think you have to pay attention to a particular object for a long period, then that's difficult. That will create some trouble in you. And if you just let it flow and just become the observer of this process that is happening, so the breath is there, the sounds appear, the thoughts appear again, breath you feel, that type of a process I'm talking. So when you pay attention to that process, it is not so much difficult. Instead, you just become the observer of the things that are happening in the present moment. So that's the idea of the practice. And if you develop in that manner, you realize sometimes certain periods, the attention span getting longer. Sometimes the attention span is getting shorter. It goes on cycles, like, you know, every few months you feel this type of a change. And that change is most welcome. You can't prevent it. It is naturally, it is happening. So certain periods you feel that you are able to maintain attention for a long period. Certain times you feel that your attention is shorter. Attention span is shorter. So that's fine. That's how it is changing always. So when we practice, we welcome this change. And when you welcome that, it won't create trouble in your mind. So I hope I gave an answer to your question.
Yes, Bhante, I think Bhante gave touched the very right point of the problem, because in my mind it was there that I had to watch the breath for 1 hour, and subconsciously I felt as Bhante described that I was resisting it. But when Bhante is saying, allow yourself to move away from the breath and it is fine to move away, then I feel like, okay, it is okay now to be doing that for 1 hour. Yes, it is very subtle and very deep advice from Bhante. Thank you so much, Bhante. Since there are no other questions for today to be raised for Bhante to advise on, I would like to end the session for today. I would like to thank Venerable Bhante from Nisarana Vanaya Forest Monastery for joining the program session today and committing time and effort and providing valuable and rare insight to all of us, so that we can sum up the courage to start practicing mindfulness as a dedicated practice, and then also to utilize the insight to develop ourselves further in mindful activities or mindfulness. And I would also like to thank all those who joined from Zoom and Mixlr dedicating your time and energy on a Saturday to a worthy cause. Thank you so much, everyone, for participating today. And with that, if you have the end, it is the end of session on mindfulness. But if you have any other questions on the program itself or any comments, feel free to raise hand and let us know. I would also like to point out that in this program, on the very first session, there was a limit of 100 participants, but by now that limit has been extended. Now we can host the program for up to 500 participants. So if you have any friends who might have thought there is a limit on the number of participants to take part in the program, please let them know that there's no such limit by now. So from the second session onwards, it was always able to support up to 500 participants. This is one thing I wanted to mention. Please pass on the message to anyone who might be staying away program from the program thinking this. Okay, there are two other, there is one other announcement I need to make, and that is on Nisaranamane. There is the Nisaranamane website, which I will share with you now, where you can, this is Nisaranamane, Mitrigala Nisaranamane website, where you can go and have a look about all the details and program details. It is nisarana.lk. If you're interested in reading books or articles or audios and videos, you can go to these sections and check them out. And then there's Satipasala. This is having the Master Trainers program and various other activities for children as well, intended for children, and also for teachers of mindfulness. You can go onto the website and familiarize yourself. There could be programs that you can be taking part in. So with that, I believe we can call it an end of session for the fifth session on mindfulness for beginners in English. We are conducting every Saturday. The purpose of this program is to dedicate time and energy from busy schedules to develop more and more mindfulness into our life. So I would like to encourage all of you to make a great effort in achieving this objective. I wish all of you a mindful week ahead, and let's meet up next weekend on Saturday again to proceed further in the talk and the questions. And if you have any questions or reflection reports, please forward them to the details, the email and the Google forum, which we have sent you. Thank you, everyone. I will end the session now.